of CH2M Hill Consultants. John is now the Programme Partner Director on the Crossrail project in London. In this interview, we discuss with John the benefits of using the solution focus approach on the HS2 Efficiency Challenge Programme, a programme which he headed until 2014. HS2 will be Europe's largest construction project once it has received final approval. At Yes And, we facilitated a total of 13 workshops for the programme using a solution focus approach.
John, what was the target you had to achieve on your programme?
HS2 set up the Efficiency Challenge programme in September 2012 with the aim of finding £1.5 billion worth of savings from the first phase of HS2, in other words, London to Birmingham. And so the target was therefore £1.5 billion, but implicit in that was a degree of culture and behaviour change, and it was a quite explicit statement that they wanted the output from the programme to act as a sort of signpost for change in the industry, in the rail and infrastructure construction industry.
What made the programme challenging?
Well, £1.5 billion is quite an eye-watering target to start with, but actually, if you save a small amount an awful lot, it's surprising how quickly you can generate large savings on a big programme. I mean, the programme itself, when we started, was £16 billion, so the scale of the money shouldn't be overawing. I think what was really challenging was the fact that the team that I was part of and the team that I led, they knew how resistant the construction industry, the engineering industry, the infrastructure industry can be to change, how resistant it can be to new ideas, and how difficult it can be to overcome both change aversion but also risk aversion. You know, this is an industry where if something collapses, falls down or doesn't work, large numbers of people can die. So the tendency is to, you know, add a bit because it makes it safer. But actually the tendency is not to, and the tendency is not to save because it might be more efficient. And so, you know, aversion to risk, aversion to change, and aversion to anything new, innovation, anything like that, is rife. So really the challenge, if you like, was the mindset, the behaviours of the people that were involved in the construction.
What led you to pursue the solution focus approach in workshops?
Well, it's fair to say that we did try a number of ways of tackling this. It was very clear to us from the start that we had to do something different. We couldn't just sit round the table, eyeballing each other with arms folded in the grumpy way that many engineers and their ilk often do in these sort of situations. That simply wasn't going to work. We also had to engage, I say had to engage, we decided to engage very widely. So we didn't just stick to the HS2 team, we pulled in people from across government, from across the industry, from across the not-for-profits, from across all the interest groups, and spent the first 3 months just getting people together and garnering their views, their opinions, their ideas and their commitment. So we needed a vehicle that would allow us to do that in a way that didn't make anyone feel uncomfortable or as if they were being oppressed or overly influenced. It had to be open and it had to be collaborative. So we tried a number of what I suppose you'd loosely bracket as creative thinking techniques. And to be honest, some of them worked quite well, some of them not so well. But the one that consistently worked better was anything done with a solution focus. And so that was the one we opted to then use more systematically through the rest of the programme.
What value did the solution focus approach provide? What was the essence of its value?
The first aspect, which was very attractive, is that almost all of the normal ways that people in this industry get together to think about things start with, so what's the problem? And sometimes they do a gap analysis. And if you do a gap analysis and ask what's the problem on something as big as HS2, you end up with a very big problem, an enormous gap. And you could actually, in some of the workshops, you could physically see people being overcome by the enormity of what it was they were facing. And it was just simply not delivering the right answer. So the beauty of solution focus is it started with, what are you trying to deliver? And it made people think very positively about where they were going. And actually people, particularly in something like HS2, at the stage they were at, it's a very visionary piece of infrastructure. It has to be by its very nature. I mean, it will have the fastest trains in the world on it. So the problems are enormous. You can't just do it the way the last one was done. You've got to do something different. So the visionary and the sort of future perfect state was a great place to start. The next thing was that in the way that the solution focus process works, it's very good at breaking barriers. Everyone brings their baggage to the workshop or to the discussion or to the meeting or the forum, whatever it is. Everyone expects to put their baggage on the table and build a defensive position behind it. And actually, the way that solution focus works, it doesn't really matter whether they're carrying the baggage or not, because you very quickly forget about it and look beyond it and into something different and work back from a future state. It meant that people, despite some really desperate attempts to keep the baggage in the game, weren't able to do it. And so it was a great leveller. And that was very valuable, not just for dealing with the people inside HS2, but for bringing people in from other parts of the industry. And so the benefits for collaboration were significant. The other aspect was, and we used solution focus in a particular way, we tried to engage people early in a particular line of thought or a line of analysis and use solution focus at the beginning to set the conditions and get as many people involved at the beginning as possible. And, of course, the benefit of that, the value of that, was that when they then came to doing the work that had to follow, they'd pretty much done it, really. And so they'd go away and do their writing or their drawing or their design, whatever it was, and nobody really critiqued it too viciously because they'd all been there at the beginning to design it. And they were all supporting each other and working with each other. So another value that we really probably hadn't expected was that it speeded the thing up. And we got through some really quite tricky and difficult areas faster than I had expected.
Did you see any benefit in terms of your team? Because you had a small team of consultants.
All of whom, of course, were drawn from the industry. And so we had varying degrees of engagement, commitment, support, understanding. And I think, you know, I'd like to be able to say that, you know, they went through a life transition and they came out of it different afterwards. The reality is that they pretty much brought the set of characteristics in that they took away at the end. What was interesting was that not one of them backed out or refused. They all went with it. They played the game. They, I think, could see the value. There were still some Philistines, and you know, I guess if you drew a curve showing age against extent of being a Philistine, and the older were more reluctant, there's a sort of element there. And you've got this sort of challenge of, well, I got to where I am because I did it the way it was done before. Now you want me to do something different, and you want me to tell you it's better. That's not an easy game to play. What was interesting was that afterwards, when the dust had settled and everything had finished, was because it was different, because we were seen as doing things differently, we almost generated a Stockholm complex around it. And so the team pulled together. And I still get a couple of them catch me for a coffee and talk about how much they enjoyed doing it. Now, I don't know how often other people from other teams get together later and say how much they enjoyed doing it. But it was the fact that it was different, it was refreshing and challenging, meant that they did pull through. Not all, you know, one notable exception still isn't really convinced and still prefers to do it the way he did it before. You can't change all the people all the time.
Absolutely. So, quite a difficult question, but did any aspect of the SF workshop surprise you?
I think, I mean, the thing that always surprises me about some of these things, but particularly the SF and the way it was done, was just how willing and engaged and collaborative people were when they did it. And you could hardly hear yourself think. I mean, the noise, the enthusiasm, the buzz was brilliant. So I think, you know, that surprised me. The outputs, the outcomes, etc., would not have surprised me, because I think I'm convinced. What surprised me was how much people picked it up and ran with it once they'd been introduced to it.
Thank you. Was it worth the cost and time that your team invested?
That's a very difficult question. There's a higher question, which was, did we actually meet the target we'd been set? And the answer is, sort of. We did, because we put into... What we did was produce a whole list of ways you could make savings. And then because there was a sort of confidence element to it, we ran a Monte Carlo model and associated two probabilities. One, the difficulty of the thing, and the other was whether people would cross the line and actually do it. And that we call it the probability of adoption. If you make the probabilities of adoption all 100%, so everyone would take it up and do everything we'd said, then the actual total saving potential was 1.9 billion. So we were clear. But if you then applied a pragmatic probability, it dropped to about 1.3, 1.4 billion, although it was rising as people began to become convinced. So the answer is yes, we achieved the target. was the value of the solution focus worth it? I think it was. I mean, I alluded earlier to the fact that it saved time. We were right up against the stocks. Our final report was being written during the final 48 hours of our 18 months that we had. And we worked pretty flat out throughout that period. And for the scale of project, you'd probably not be surprised by that. So it was very, very busy. We couldn't afford to mess around. We had a lot of people to get involved very quickly from a standing start who had not worked together before and generate output. And actually, it worked. And I suppose the example that illustrates it was the vision and strategic themes piece, which started off, the vision we got the executive committee to set, that was the leadership issue, and after a bit of discussion they agreed on a vision, and that was great. What we then did was we went and used the solution-focused technique, which was worked up by us as amateurs in the team, and then complemented by the professionals, John Brooker and his team, who came in later to add to the shiny thing. But we worked up and we got people involved from the T-boy and the people at the bottom of the organisational pile, right up to the senior executives, sometimes in the same group. And we used Solution Focus through a series of workshops to build up their views on what the strategic theme should be for HS2, for Phase 1. And actually, we came out at the end with eight, and in about three months, add another month for it to go past the Department for Transport and be approved, and it actually hit the Secretary of State's table at the end of that month, and he said yes, so that was kind of nice. When we compared the same activity on the Olympics, who used a very similar programme architecture, it took nearly 8 months, and we know that they also workshopped, but we know that they did it in a more traditional way. It meant we had activities like that done very, really very quickly, very engaged, and of course everyone in the organisation was involved, so they all knew about them. So when it came to the communication strategy, it was, well, everybody knew, so it doubled up. So, you know, I think the value is manifest. It was really worthwhile doing, and actually we persuaded a lot of other people that solution focus was a good way of thinking too, so hopefully that value will spread.
Finally, will you continue with the SF approach on future projects?
No question. I mean, I enjoy it, and I can see so many potential uses for it. I think the only limitation is that every time I seem to come up against it, I have to persuade another crowd of people that it's the right thing to do. And, you know, even chief executives who you might think have got, you know, broad-minded, and there are some very, you know, very good ones around, who are prepared to run with innovation strategies and goodness knows what else, still think in problem-focused terms, and it's quite difficult to get them to change. But, no, I will certainly continue to practice and to use it. I think it's a fantastic technique.
John, thank you very much indeed.